Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
Mr. Trump has magic about him.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
This guy has magic coming out his ears.
This is the most unethical sham.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. J.K. Simmons, as we get started here for a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. We are jam-packed. We actually have a show. That in and of itself is somewhat special because we are kind of bookended by a lot of baseball. We had a doubleheader yesterday. I fell asleep. Klein, did you make it up for when the Cardinals came back? Like, my eyes were literally drooping and closing, and I don't even know when. When did they win that thing? Was it in the eighth?
I think it was the ninth, and it's weird to think that two games yesterday went to quote-unquote extra innings, being
extra
the eighth
innings
and the ninth inning.
Right.
Yeah, it's strange.
So I think I made it for the eighth inning, and then I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. And I must have had a dream that the Cardinals lost that game, because I woke up this morning and I saw that they won, and I'm like, no, they didn't win. I actually checked the score. So that was good to get the split out of that. We have baseball tonight and then a doubleheader again tomorrow and baseball on Friday. So no show. Well, that's not true. That's fake news. We'll have an hour tomorrow. We will have an hour show tomorrow before we join the Ameren pregame. Bill O'Reilly is going to join me on the show this afternoon. We haven't had a visit from Bill in a while. He's coming up in just a little bit at 2:30. We have news on my school district, the Rockwood School District, finally adopting the Mark Reardon plan that I spelled out to Dr. Miles a month and a half ago, to have the younger kids go back to school. So we'll get into that here this afternoon as well. It's funny, when they sent the email out to parents, they didn't call it the Mark Reardon plan, which I was a little offended by, but that's okay. And ladies and gentlemen, we also are on the verge of a huge milestone here in St. Louis when it comes to COVID numbers versus murder numbers. And I'll explain that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's check in with our good friend, Steve Templeton, chief meteorologist, News 4. Because, you know, it's weird, Steve, you know this probably better than most people. These hurricanes are huge media stories, nonstop coverage. But given the news cycle right now, not as much attention to Sally in some of this stuff, is there?
That's a good point. I mean, think back to Hurricane Laura. That was the one that hit Louisiana. And, I mean, there was incredible destruction, but then all of a sudden there's wildfires and, you know, the national media moves on. And that's also not a very populated area. So this Hurricane Sally, which is going to make landfall tonight in a much more populated area, is a much weaker storm than Hurricane Laura, but it's going to produce tremendous rainfall. It's going to hit the Mobile Bay area, Mississippi, Alabama, Gulf Coast tonight, overnight. Rainfall totals over 2 days is going to be about 10 to 20 inches. National Hurricane Center says there could be some spots up to 30 inches. So, I mean, extreme danger from flash flooding.
That caught my attention. I saw that prediction of up to 30 inches. And that, you know, we know how much we get into trouble here with just rainfalls of four or five, six inches, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
that's
crazy.
So they're going to have winds. They're going to have storm surge. And, you know, these hurricanes produce these brief, weak tornadoes, too. So a lot of hazards down there. It all happens tonight.
So Is this one where, you know, you're still kind of watching the path, and is there a chance that it gets downgraded, or is this sort of set right now and you're just bracing for impact?
It has been downgraded on expectation tonight, but it's still a Category 1 with about 80-mile-an-hour winds expected to make landfall. Now, that could go up 5 miles per hour, down 5 miles per hour, but it's expected to be basically about a Category 1 hurricane at landfall tonight, and the path has really narrowed right into that Mobile Bay area.
I think good overall, not good for them, and we'll keep track of that. Steve, in the meantime, you'll join me this afternoon at 4:40. We've got some nice weather here in St. Louis. Finally, some low dew points. It's been very comfortable. The air conditioning is off right now, at least at my house.
Have you noticed the hazy sunshine, though? That's smoke in the skies from the wildfire out west, and we'll have that again tomorrow. So there is a lot of going on weather-wise around the nation.
I would say so. I'll talk to you in just a few hours here at 4:40 this afternoon.
Take care, Mark.
We'll get to a whole bunch of other stuff. Actually, I have some fun things to get to. There was a guy on Twitter that tweeted something out that I thought was just really, really funny, and it had to do with a taste in his mouth that was metallic. And the responses on Twitter, every once in a while, you know, social media has not been my favorite place these days, but that seemingly was somewhat interesting and fun. We'll get to some lighthearted stuff here this afternoon. Apple had a rollout, so Ian Scheer from CNET is going to join us. New information about the iPhone and the Apple Watch. Everything along those lines. And I'm trying to think what else I got going on here this afternoon, because Fred sends me my sheet, and I think what I do sometimes is
how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
I know, but I can't access my my program sheet, and I'm nothing without it. Here we go. I mentioned Bill O'Reilly's coming up here. Mac Bradley, who is in charge of Mardi Gras Inc., but also he's our international space consultant, and even wrote a book about space called The Space to Lead. But you know, you might have heard that there is a potential sign of life in the atmosphere of Venus. And we'll get into that here a little bit this afternoon. So on the topic of social media, a few months ago, I think it was late May, maybe the beginning of June, it was right around the time when, and I just retweeted this afternoon, just as a reminder for myself and for Jacob Long at the mayor's office and also the mayor herself, because let me take you back to May 24th, when the worst thing that could ever happen in the state of Missouri, and certainly in St. Louis and St. Louis County. When you think back at this, what I'm about to remind you of, you're just going to laugh. So if you're drinking, you know, Diet Coke or anything like that right now, it might come out of your nose. Just be careful. Don't want anyone to get hurt. Remember the pool party at the Lake of the Ozarks? The horror of the pool party that was going to spread all over the state, and St. Louis had to tell people to quarantine, and Sam Page had to tell people to quarantine. And then, of course, in the weeks that followed, they never told anyone to quarantine if they were at a protest. But Jacob Long, who I think used to be a TV reporter, he's a shill now for the mayor. And he thought he'd be, and I get it, you know, he wakes up on a Sunday morning after the pool party, the video's going nuts, and he says, gosh, I'm glad I'm not the communications director for the Lake of the Ozarks. You know, he's the communications director for the city of St. Louis, which is in far, far better shape than the Lake of the Ozarks. We know that. I mean, the population has been growing. Crime is at an all-time low. We're drawing big companies like Centene to build their... Okay, well, maybe some of that hasn't happened. I guess maybe I'm wrong. But I said to... Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. I said to Jacob at the time, this is my tweet. Okay, people thought I was... Well, I was being snarky, but I was also being serious because I thought it was a very, very distinct possibility. And I checked the odds in Vegas this afternoon, and I'm feeling ever more confident about my prediction. My response to Mr. Jacob Long, the mayor's shill, was, will you feel the same way? Remember what he said, I'm glad I'm not the communications director for the Lake of the Ozarks. Will you feel the same way when the murder numbers in the city of St. Louis eclipse COVID deaths? We're halfway there. We were halfway there on May 24th. Now, I got all kinds of responses here. You know, here's my buddy Scott Charton, who used to be a reporter. I like Scott a lot, but he is a lunatic lefty now, and he was probably when he was a reporter. And that's fine, but he did a good job reporting. So I guess the first time I tweeted it, I might have had a spelling error, so I retweeted it, I corrected it. But he said, sometimes when I blow and then delete the first silly, nonsensical tweet, I figure it's a sign that I should just stop and have a second cup of coffee, not double down. No, you know what? I doubled down. I retweeted that, Scott Charton and Jacob Long and Mayor Crewson. And guess what? You know what the total is right now? Now, I don't want to hear any of this BS about a false equivalency, okay? I'm not going to have any of it because we're talking about safety in the city of St. Louis, right? Public safety. I was told we have to flatten the curve. We got to flatten the curve, right? You know where we have not flattened the curve? Murders in the city of St. Louis. Ladies and gentlemen, the tally this afternoon, as horrifying as this is, COVID deaths, 196 for the city of St. Louis. Homicide deaths, 194. Congratulations to the mayor and everyone else that has done a great job in making sure that we're absolutely... Now, think about this here. We are sitting September 15th, and we've already come within two of passing COVID deaths. I have a poll on my Twitter page right now, at Mark Reardon KMOX, that says this. The St. Louis murder number is currently at 194. We'll pass COVID deaths currently at 196 by tonight. Now, tonight is favored right now, 55%, or Thursday, 46%. I think tonight, I think we can do it, St. Louis. If we put our minds to it, we can pass the COVID numbers tonight with 197, 198 homicide deaths. I have full confidence in the city of St. Louis, especially because the mayor doesn't want to do anything. Apparently, the police chief doesn't want to do anything either because nothing's getting done and there's no solutions to it. So, yeah, Scott, it wasn't a silly tweet. It was a tweet that had purpose. And it was a tweet that was trying to kind of, you know, tighten the nails a little bit on Mayor Crewson, which I like to do. Didn't matter. Does anyone out there right now, anyone, raise your hand. Does anyone that is paying attention to anything believe that by December 31st, the homicide deaths in the city of St. Louis will be far greater than the COVID deaths? I'm not even so sure it's going to be close at this point. It's shameful. It is absolutely shameful. I saw a story today on our local newspaper about a 15-year-old girl who was killed. 15-year-old African-American girl, one of the latest victims in St. Louis. Does her life matter? It's 216 at the Voice of St. Louis.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
Well, I want to thank a listener here. When it comes to the homicide numbers, and by the way, there's like a rolling shootout that was taking place West Florissant at Hodemount just a short time ago, middle of the day, city of St. Louis, violent crime. We know that. So just in case you're just joining us, the homicide numbers are just two behind the COVID deaths in the city of St. Louis. I think we can pass those by tonight. But, you know, somebody reminded me of something. Just think, you know, we're at 194 homicides right now. How much higher would we have been, ladies and gentlemen, if Kim Gardner did not take the McCloskeys off the table? If the McCloskeys were still armed, if they had their weapons, how much higher would the death toll be in St. Louis? I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine the bodies that would stack up if our circuit attorney hadn't done something about that. Thank God for Kim Gardner and Mayor Crewson keeping our city safe. 221. Here, let's highlight some county nonsense this afternoon because there's enough of that to go around. They're going to meet this afternoon at the county council to try to put Sam Page's power in check when it comes to youth sports and the COVID restrictions. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and my county councilman, Tim Fitch, is with me this afternoon on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Chief, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. Good afternoon to you.
Well, I noted this yesterday. I had a couple of parents that were protesting down in Clayton at Sam Page's office. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of months ago when all of this sort of started bubbling underneath the surface with angry parents across the region. And I've really never seen anything like it. You know, we've seen movements. We've seen people go out and protest clearly over a lot of different things. But this one is, I think, unusual because you have people that typically don't go down and do any protesting that are pretty worked up about this. You've made some attempts to put Sam Page's power in check. Where are we at with this right now?
Well, this afternoon, the council will be looking at, in our regular council meeting, two new bills that I've submitted. They're called substitute bills because they're different than the last ones I submitted. But they're bills 175 and 176. Today will be the first vote on those. So I will ask for a motion to adopt these substitutes and then a motion to perfect them. And then we'll vote and see if they are perfected. If they're perfected, they will go to next Tuesday's council meeting for final approval. That's how the process works. And then if they're finally approved next Tuesday, they'll go to the county executive for his signature or not. I would expect him to return them with his objections. better known as a veto. And then we would have to have a fifth vote on the county council. So five aye votes to pass his, override his veto. So that's the process.
But why would you have, let's talk about specifically what would this do, and then why would you have any hope based on the, you know, the council's track record even recently that this might land on Sam Page's desk?
Well, basically what these two bills do, one deals with states of emergency issued by the county executive. The other deals with public health orders issued by the director of public health. So that's why it's two different bills, two different issues. Both of them say the same thing. They can issue their orders, their state of emergency or their public health order. They can issue them, but they're only good for 15 days. At that point, the county executive would be forced to come back to the council and explain to us and answer questions from the council members, like you should have an adversarial questioning process in these type of situations. Mm-hmm. That would then allow the council to decide if they want to extend those orders, and then with a specific deadline date on the ending of those orders. And that would take a 2/3 majority of the council to extend those orders.
Do you have an indication that you have support from some of the Democrats on the council that have not supported you on this in the past, you and Councilman Harder?
Well, Councilman Trakas has supported this in the past.
Right.
So we've always had the three votes. We need four. I am hopeful that when the vote is taken today, we have a fourth vote that comes over with us, because this is no longer a, and never really was ever, a partisan issue. This is a community issue. The community all over St. Louis County, they're letting their council members know how they feel about this. So I think there could be some differences of opinion compared to the last time we took a vote on a similar bill that could push this over the hump.
You know, the thing that I think the parents are most focused on, appropriately so, is that there's really no reason that's being given, good reason, and the science does not back up the restrictions on youth sports and some of these other things. So that's where the frustration comes. If there's transparency, if there's an effort to say, okay, here's what's happening, maybe people would have time to digest that and agree with the county executive. But he's not bringing any of that forward, and I think that makes things worse at this point.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he's been really adversarial when it comes to people asking him questions about the data, where he pushes back and says, well, listen, I'm just doing what the pandemic task force is telling us that's going on in St. Louis County. I'm just following. I can tell you there's just as many physicians, doctors, just like Sam Page, they have an MD behind their name, just like he does, that feel completely differently than he does about these orders that he's targeted specifically this time. By the way, this argument started, if you remember, Mark, back when he closed the parks for no good reason. And then we tried to push legislation to get oversight on reopening the parks, and suddenly, poof, the parks opened back up. He didn't want that. I don't think he wants these bills to pass either, but if it looks like they're going to pass, my guess is suddenly he's going to change his tune. I think that's what's going to happen, because, you know, he is up for election in November. He does have an opponent, and people are starting to realize that and recognize that. And I can tell you, people, I've talked to them all week long that supported Sam Page in the primary, that have absolutely flipped and said, there is no way I will support him in November. And I think he better start listening to that, although he's been pretty cocky about it. And basically just, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I think is right, and so be it, is kind of been his attitude. And I don't need to explain myself to anyone.
Well, I mean, the political reality of the situation is, and I know Mr. Barry, Paul Barry, who's running as a Republican, I just think that it is nearly impossible for Sam Page to be, you know, not elected in November. But outside of that, I think you're right, because there doesn't seem to be any, he doesn't seem to be affected by this. And I understand, you know, someone who's in charge trying to do things to keep the community safe and make sure that, you know, tough decisions are made. However, you'd have to have some facts and some science that would sort of lead you in that direction. And then we got news from the task force yesterday that the number of admissions on a single day was down to 24. That's the lowest number in a couple of months.
Right. The other thing we keep hearing from Sam Page is, from day one, St. Louis County is the worst county in the state when it comes to this coronavirus. We have the most infections. We have the most deaths. We have the most. So I have to put these restrictions, these tough restrictions, into place. He's still saying the same thing in mid-September. We're the worst, we're the worst, we're the worst. Well, then what you're doing, Sam, isn't working. It's not working. So we have to look at alternatives and just continue to tighten down and tighten down and tighten down. Clearly, it's not working. So it's time to let him come to the council, explain why he wants to do what he's doing, answer questions, pointed questions, not reporter-type questions, but pointed questions from other elected officials that represent the million people that live in St. Louis County. We should have a say in this. The people should have a say in it, not just one person.
Former St. Louis County Police Chief, current County Councilman Tim Fitch, heading into that meeting. I appreciate it. Keep us posted.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, you can hear the frustration there. Doesn't know what's going to happen. He's trying. He's doing everything he can. I give credit to the parents out there that are really, really fighting and trying to fix some of this stuff right now. Maybe the pressure is going to work. We'll see. By the way, a couple of things that are happening that are newsworthy this afternoon. There's been a federal officer shot in Phoenix. We're still trying to get some information about that. There's been a big settlement in Louisville with the Breonna Taylor case. And also, Bill O'Reilly's coming up here on this very program in just a couple of minutes.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, a couple things I want to mention here later in the show. Ian Scheer from CNET, Apple holding its big fall product preview. Some news out of that about iPhones and Apple Watches. We'll get to Ian. It's always great to talk with him. Mac Bradley, who will talk about this sign of life, potential life in the atmosphere of Venus. So we'll get to that in the next hour. Bill O'Reilly is, of course, the longtime anchor of the O'Reilly Factor. His website is BillO'Reilly.com. He has the No Spin News broadcast weekday nights, and his new book is called Killing Crazy Horse. A lot of success with the Killing series, The Merciless Indian Wars in America. We'll talk about that with Bill. He joins me on the Quiver River Electric guest line this afternoon. Mr. Bill O'Reilly, how are you?
Good, Mark. Thanks for having me in.
It's been a while. I think we spoke at the beginning of all the craziness in the spring, and you're in the New York area. So it's hard even just to get perspective outside of Missouri right now or outside of St. Louis, what's going on, because we don't hear much about the coronavirus up in New York or the East Coast. So what kind of shape is New York in right now?
Pretty good. They flattened it out by very restrictive policies in the city, and that's where most of the people in New York State live. So the testing is now below 1%. They're loosening up a little, but New York is now a state where it was once the worst state for COVID, is now one of the best.
So what do you, Bill O'Reilly, attribute that to? Just out of curiosity.
Well, from what we can understand, the virus spreads in crowds. So in New York State, they got that message out, stay out of crowds. Nobody goes on a subway anymore. Very few people take airlines. So they're, the stadiums are dark, no fans allowed, no concerts, no crowds. And people here, because they saw so many people die, they're scared. And they wear the mask and they stay away from people they don't know.
So what's your reaction then? We still have people, and I believe that the coronavirus is very real. I actually thought I had it a few weeks ago. I did not. I had a pretty bad virus, though. I support people wearing masks. But obviously, you still see pockets of the country, and outside of the immediate metro area here in St. Louis, there's a lot of resistance to that. And this becomes political, the mask wearing. So how do you break that down?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of resistance, Mark. I think there's some. It's a libertarian play. People don't want to be told they have to wear masks and they have to do certain things. It's always been in American culture. But I don't think it's widespread. I think people understand that you've got to be cautious with an airborne disease that is killing people all over the world. I mean, France, India have tremendous problems, a resurgence. And America had resurgence in the South and Southwest. So people can see it with their own eyes, and I just think most people do obey what the public health people tell them to do. And the ones that don't get all the attention, and that's why you see that.
Bill O'Reilly is back with us this afternoon. You can find out all his stuff up on BillO'Reilly.com. There's a lot of stuff to cover here because we haven't spoken in a while. A lot of things going on. So let me start, though, with the NFL and what happened in Kansas City with the booing of Unity. I know you wrote a column about this. The ratings, there were some ratings that were pretty good. I think people wanted to see Tom Brady and see what he would do with the Buccaneers. But for the most part, the ratings have been down. You feel like there is going to be long-term implications for mixing politics and sports.
Yeah, I don't think the protesting players understand that the fans pay their salaries. And 50% of the fans, according to the surveys, don't like all this politics on game day. So they're going to take out their angst on not buying merchandise, and that's going to drive down profits for all the teams. Therefore, when the contracts come up for renewal, they'll be offered less money, the players will. So the title of my column is Put Your Money Where Your Knee Is. We're seeing right now, this is the apex of NFL player salaries today. They will decline fairly significantly from here because there are a lot of fans who have had enough of the politics. They don't want that in the league.
And I'm one of those people. But when I say that, and of course I wrote that on Twitter and on Facebook last week, I am deemed someone who has no empathy for social justice, Bill, that you don't care about those things if you just want to see your form of entertainment in the NFL.
You know, we get social justice 7 days a week now, so I don't think there's any shortage of protesting about social justice. All the media, all the corporations are all on board. I mean, is there anybody who hasn't heard about this? I think we all got it. Do we need it in the sporting arena? I don't mind the players saying we'd like a better country. I'd like a better country. I don't mind that. But I don't want it rammed down my throat, and I don't want to see my flag disrespected, and I don't want to see the national anthem disrespected. And I think my opinion should be respected. So those players on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, they can say whatever they want. But on game day, play the game. I don't need to hear your political philosophy. That would be like me going on, you know, the field before the game and saying, hold it, I got 5 minutes I'm going to do. Bill O'Reilly here from BillO'Reilly.com. You know, and then I launch. And I'm going to go, what is this? We're here for a football game, not to hear O'Reilly bloviate. So let's do a contextual thing, NFL players. If you want to sacrifice some of your money, okay, that's all right with me. But you're going to take a hit in the salary range. There's no question in my mind.
So, Bill, I was someone like a lot of folks 4 years ago felt that President Trump, there's no way President Trump's going to win. Not a chance in hell. The electoral math does not work out. I can't see this happening. Obviously shocked in the aftermath, and now I sit here and I look at the polls and a lot of the same things that were happening 4 years ago. Some of the dynamics have changed, and I say maybe the same thing. There's no way that the electoral math, I see all the polls, I see what I'm told, there's no way that he can win the election. Now, there's an interesting column in the Washington Post this morning from someone who did not vote for President Trump, a Republican woman, who says, well, maybe I have no other option because of what's happening on the left. How do you see this taking shape here in the next 2 months before Election Day?
I think it's a dead heat now, and the most important day in the election was September 29th in the big debate. Joe Biden doesn't show that he is cogent. Trump will win. You know, people don't like Donald Trump. I mean, he knows that. I know it. You know it. His style is bombastic, and he's alienated people stylistically. But if Joe Biden is befuddled on that stage in 2 weeks, and it's 2 weeks from tonight, you're going to lose because independents and people on the fence are not going to vote for a guy who's obviously impaired, and Joe Biden may be impaired. I mean, if you listen to his statements last week in Michigan on COVID in the military, it was horrifying. The man had no idea what he was saying. Words are coming out. He had no idea what he was saying. And he's 78 years old. Come on. So, you know, I said yesterday on a no-spin news on BillO'Reilly.com, Trump's biggest advantage is Biden, because Biden may not be able to lead.
What I know you talked about a little bit on your podcast. What's your take on the Woodward book and everything that came out with the military bashing allegations?
Well, I'm in a battle right now with Woodward over the bestseller list. My book, Killing Crazy Horse, sold about 160,000 copies in 6 days. So I'm up against him. I'm not going to bash his book because that would not be good style. I think in short term that book hurt President Trump because there are people who believe that he did not handle the COVID thing well. And that's what Woodward says on 60 Minutes. So people in the middle who don't know very much say, okay, Trump did blew it on COVID. So in the short term, it hurt him, but that's going to be overridden by the debates and by the ongoing violence in the streets, Mark, which is really emerging as the main campaign issue right now.
Yeah, and you know, look, that's something has dominated my show for the past couple of months. I guess we're at the point, I'm guessing, Bill, you saw the situation from Lancaster with the guy with the knife and the cops, and now you have new protests. I guess we're just going to have to sit back and say the facts don't matter in any of these cases. If a cop shoots someone of color in particular, and if it's a white cop, then we're going to riot and protest and loot, and that's okay. And we're given a pass when it comes to the coronavirus by the media on that as well.
Right. Well, the media is sympathetic to the far left, and again, that's an advantage for Trump. So the Lancaster, Pennsylvania situation was outrageous, and most voters know that. So they also know Joe Biden's not going to stop violence. He, in the Democratic convention, they didn't mention it once. Can you imagine that? A big story like this, and you have a week-long convention, don't mention it? So all of those people who are angry about it and worried about it, they're all going to vote for Trump. So, you know, when people say, well, Trump can't win, I'm going, whoa, and I picked it right last time, Mark, 4 years ago. My prediction with Trump was going to win, and I'm not making that prediction now. I think it's a dead heat now, and things could happen in the next 6 weeks. But if Trump wins that first debate and Biden looks shaky, then I think Trump will be reelected.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Bill O'Reilly, BillO'Reilly.com. Before I let you go, I'd be remiss in my duty. The book just came out, right? Killing Crazy Horse. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Killing Crazy Horse is the American Indian Wars. It goes from 1813 to 1890, and nobody knows anything about the American Indian Wars, how ruthless, bloody, and how they affect us even to this day. So if you are a loyal American who loves your country, I think we all have a responsibility to learn about our country. And I didn't know anything about the Indian Wars, and I'm a former history teacher. So this book will tell you everything in a fact-based way. It's not a political book, but you'll know what happened in the expansion from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco with St. Louis right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. And so, as I said, we've sold a tremendous amount of books in the first 6 days. There is a hunger for truth about American history because we live in an age of polarization and propagandizing. And this book nails it. So we're real pleased with the reception, Mark.
Bill O'Reilly, always great to have you on. Bill, thanks for checking in. Killing Crazy Horse is the new book out right now. We'll have you back again. Take care. Keep safe.
All right. Stay strong, Mark.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
You know, I was tooling across social media, the landscape of social media earlier this afternoon. I came upon a tweet from a guy named Ryan Bourne. The Bourne Identity. I don't know who this guy is. He works for the Cato Institute. His ID, somebody had retweeted him, and I thought this was pretty funny. Ryan Bourne, Mr. R. Bourne, Public Understanding of Economics at Cato Institute, columnist at Telebusiness, mainly economics, politics, football. Views are my masks. I thought that was funny. So he tweets this rather innocuously this morning, and I think he was, I don't know this guy, so I think he was being serious. You know, sometimes you don't know if someone's just being snarky or serious, but I'm going to say, Dave, see if you disagree with me here and in the tone of the tweet. So he says, I've awoken with this strong metallic taste in my mouth, almost like my tongue has been burnt with a piece of metal. Any ideas of a cause? Have you heard anything like that before? Now, I think I've remembered some of the coronavirus symptoms to be along those lines. Didn't they talk about metallic taste back in March
and
April?
Yeah, they did. That's right.
All right. So, I mean, I don't know what it is, but then, and I don't often do this, but somebody I think had mentioned that the answers were really interesting. So people start chiming in here. He's got this metallic taste in his mouth. What do you think? So somebody says two possibilities are vitamin B12 deficiency or allergies to dust. Far less likely is a kidney issue. They're all medical experts, right? Let's see here. Here's the coronavirus. That was one of the most palpable symptoms I had when I had the coronavirus. But on its own, it could be anything. Pine nuts can do that too. Who knew? Do you eat pine nuts? I've never had pine nuts before, maybe. Somebody else said, yeah, pine nuts do that. First question, was your tongue burnt with a piece of metal recently? I will have follow-ups, but we need to establish this baseline first. Now, that person actually is factually approaching this, right? I mean, that's a good question. Somebody else said acid reflux can cause this. Somebody else went back to the coronavirus. Somebody said you're pregnant. Pregnant women often have problems with gum disease, so he could be pregnant. You know, in 2020, anything is possible.
Well, that'd be a hell of a story.
Well, I wouldn't rule anything out. Did you forget to take the foil wrapping out of your supper last night? So it's just amazing. You toss something out there like I did, Dave. And here's a running poll for folks this afternoon if you want to check it out currently at Mark Reardon KMOX or the KMOX Facebook Mark Reardon Show page, actually. Do you think, now crunch these numbers here. I made this prediction back in May and we got some updated numbers. I started the show this way. We now have 196 COVID deaths in the city of St. Louis. Meantime, we have 194 homicide deaths. So my poll question here this afternoon is, when will we surpass the COVID deaths? So we are at 196 for COVID, 194 for murder. The poll question, I'm sorry, getting all kinds of gunk here. And as I pointed out before, I do not have a mic mute at home. Right now, Thursday is winning just by 1 percentage point. See, I think it's going to be tonight. I think we'll pass this number by tonight. The poll actually sets it up as a tonight and Thursday. I sort of skipped Wednesday, if you will. But I would take the under the way this city is out of control. 194 murders, more than all of last year. By the end of the year, you don't think we're going to surpass COVID? I was mocked for that prediction in May. Mocked. Looks pretty solid right now. Second hour of the show is coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.